Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Monday, July 10th, 2023. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Patrick Murphy. A lot to get into. We're going to break down Phil Steele's preseason college football rankings, both his national rankings, and then we're going to look at his Big Ten rankings, both East Division and West Division. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to, again, talk about what we agree, what we disagree about. And then real quick, as I've been saying, if you are watching on YouTube, you like the show, please subscribe if you have not subscribed already. Helps us out a lot, so please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Helps us out a lot. Appreciate that very much. All right, let's get down to it here. As you can see, all right, no surprise, Phil Steele has Georgia number one. Here's where it gets interesting already off the bat. And I've been saying this team is a little underrated according to the Vegas odds. He's got Clemson number two. Now, he also has power rankings where he has Georgia one, Ohio State two. So this is all based on schedule, like where, you know, so it's all of that's factored in. But he does have Ohio State number two in his power rankings. But this is just based on schedule. So he's got Georgia one, Clemson two, Michigan three, Bama four, Ohio State five, Penn State sixth, USC seventh, Florida State eighth, LSU ninth, Notre Dame 10th. Let's stop right there. Then we'll get to 11 through 20 in a minute. What do you agree? What do you disagree with, Patrick Murphy?
Well, real quick, Michael Wilson asked why I was wearing a yellow shirt. It's a crew shirt, Columbus Crew. They gave them out at the game this past weekend. So not Michigan at all. Don't worry. Just happened to be a shirt that was readily available for me this morning. Anyway, I think this is interesting. I think the rankings – look, the rankings in preseason, we talk about it every year, relatively meaningless, right? I mean, it can help set some things up, but – we know the top teams are going to be in the discussion at the end. But I think with the quarterback situation at a lot of these teams heading into the season makes it tougher than usual to pick where some teams are going to be. And Ohio State obviously is in that mix. A new starter. Georgia will have a new starter. Alabama will have a new starter. In fact, three of the four teams to make the college football playoff last year, with the exception of the aforementioned Michigan, has a new starting quarterback. So I think when you're looking at these rankings in general, you have to take that into account. And remember, Phil Steele is a national guy, right? So he is not paying tiny, tiny money. He does a great job, but he's not looking at Ohio State or any of those schools the way that we do, or the guys that cover Alabama or Georgia. So you have to keep that in mind a little bit, I think, when looking at these. I was a little surprised with Clemson being as high as they are. I know Cade Klubnik is returning, but he's only thrown 100 passes and completed 61 of them for 697 yards and two touchdowns. So not a ton of experience. You know, that's obviously a team, as you mentioned, that, you know, could be a little underrated in some people's eyes just because they will have the defense. If the quarterback is good, as he has been in the past, then they should climb back into things. But the ACC is going to be an interesting conference to try and get out of. Look, personally, I would probably have Ohio State a little bit higher, but I completely understand, especially given still some questions about the defense in the big games, having them just outside that top four. I'm not worried about it. I think the Buckeyes will have plenty of time throughout the season to prove that they are one of the best teams in the country, but I think that's interesting. I think where Notre Dame is ranked, not just with Phil Steele's rankings, but when we get the AP and coaches poll coming out will be interesting, because obviously that big game in week four will kind of set the tone for Ohio State early on. You know, having them, what are they, 10 on that list?
Yeah.
And then Florida State's a team that I know is getting a lot of hype this offseason. This isn't a program that's been great over the last handful of years, right? So can they climb back into that conversation as we go through the season for the college football playoff, which they haven't made since, I believe, that first year, right, when Ohio State won the national title? I think that was the last time Florida State was in that mix. So, you know, interesting there. There's certainly talent down there, but they just haven't been able to put it together year after year. So that's another team that that just kind of jumps out to me as kind of a, you know, newcomer, so to speak, back in the mix of those top teams.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I get, like I said, I've been saying, you know, outside of the top six Vegas odds, you know, that goes Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, and then USC and LSU are tied for the fifth best odds. So out of those top six, you know, we've been talking on the show I do for 97.1, who, if you had to pick someone out of that top six, I keep saying I think it's going to be one of those six, but if you had to pick someone out of that top six, who would it be? And I've said Clemson just because of all the reasons that Phil Steele mentioned and you mentioned. But second is a little rich for my blood there. I can't get down with that. Like, I'm okay with saying they could be sixth or seventh, but and maybe could sneak into the playoffs because they play in the ACC. So I disagree with Clemson. I think Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten. I think they're going to get over the hump and beat Michigan this year. But I understand why Michigan's ranked ahead of Ohio State. They've beat them according to Phil Steele and maybe according to the polls when they come out. Now, it's interesting. According to Vegas, Ohio State, like I mentioned, has slightly better odds to win the national championship than Michigan. Ohio State is third at 7-1. Michigan is fourth at 9-1. So I do find that interesting. It's pretty much splitting hairs. So I also disagree with that. I put Ohio State ahead of Michigan, but I don't think that's egregious by any means. We have heard from people that cover the SEC, and if anything, like Alabama, have told us this Alabama team is not the typical Saban team. Still really good because it's Alabama, so it's a very high bar. So I don't know if I'm buying Alabama either, although putting them fourth, I have no problem with that. So those are a few. And Notre Dame, if they finish 10th, I'll be somewhat surprised, but Sam Hartman was a great get. That might be the most valuable get on all of college football in the transfer portal because they were so bad at quarterback last year and held them back. Now they have a legit good quarterback. So maybe I'm okay with Notre Dame at 10th. All right, let's look at 11 through 20 and see what you agree and disagree with, Patrick. Okay, he's got Texas at 11th, Texas A&M at 12th. We'll see. Wisconsin at 13th. He thinks Wisconsin's going to be one of the surprise teams, but 13th sounds about right to me. That doesn't seem like they're like, I don't know. That's not that high. 14, Washington. 15, Oregon. 16, Utah. 17, Iowa. New quarterback, Cade McNamara. 18th, Oregon State. 19th, Tennessee. And then 20th, Oklahoma. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with?
Well, I am really interested in Texas this year. Look, I like what Quinn Ewers offers. And I know he's obviously a polarizing name with Ohio State fans coming here for the 1 year and then transferring, and we could discuss that on another show, but I think he's a talented quarterback. I think when he was healthy last year, you saw what he was able to do. They added the wide receiver from Georgia, Donnie Mitchell, who I think is a talented player and will only help their offense. So that's a team that I'm interested in. Remember, they had Alabama on the ropes. Now that was in Austin. They have to go to Alabama early this season. I think that's week two or three. So we'll learn a lot about Texas early, but that's, if I'm picking one of the teams from that list that you just said there that could creep up into that college football playoff discussion, that's what I'm going to with. Washington also there. We'll talk about Wisconsin when we talk about the Big Ten. Tennessee, I think you've got to replace a quarterback, obviously, and a good one. They've got some guys in line, and including the former Michigan quarterback. But that's a team that really put themselves back on the map last year with some of the stuff they were able to do. If you are going to finally continue to be a dominant force in the SEC, this is the year to do it. I'm not advocating for them to be higher on the list, but that I think is an interesting team if they can find the quarterback and replace some other key players on their team. Which is not easy to do. They don't stockpile the way some of those top teams do, including Ohio State. But Texas, to me, I think Texas could be very interesting this year. Last year in the Big 12, it's the first time in, I want to say, like 8 or 9 years, they've been the preseason favorite for the Big 12, which just came out last week. So that program seems to be moving in the right direction. We'll find out, like I said, pretty quickly when they face Alabama on the road. But that's a kind of a dark horse team that I'm keeping an eye on here as we head into the season.
I'm not buying A&M at all at 12. I mean, my gosh, just not buying Jimbo Fisher at all. I know they've stacked talent, but not buying it. I like Wisconsin. I won't be surprised if Wisconsin finishes higher than that. I mean, what's the one thing Wisconsin seems to not had for a long time since Russell Wilson, a quarterback? Now they've got a good quarterback with Tanner Mordecai, who transferred in from SMU and was really good at SMU the last 2 years. And they brought in the offensive coordinator that's innovative, that's going to throw the ball. They're still obviously going to run the ball. Now, Luke did struggle his first year at Cincinnati. He went 4-8 and then did great the 5 years after that. So maybe there could be a little bit of, an adjustment period, but they've got that excellent running back coming back, Braden Allen. You know they're going to have offensive linemen, and you know they're going to play good defense under Fickle and Mike Tressel. So I could see Wisconsin sneaking into the top 10. Let's see, what else do I agree and disagree with? A&M is the one that stands out to me. I can see Utah finishing higher than 16th. I do like them getting Cade McNamara. Not that he's great, but I do think that's going to be good for them. Tennessee's a team I'm keeping a close eye on. That's going to be interesting. Can they beat Alabama this year? They have a tough schedule, so we'll see about that. But Tennessee's going to be, although Joe Milton, do we trust him? He looked good in the bowl game.
Right.
Our old friend Joe Milton, who was going to be the next Dante Culpepper, they were saying at Michigan. But anyway, now he's an older guy, looked good in the bowl game. Josh Heupel was a very good hire, so I'm okay with Tennessee there. They might even be a little bit higher. Oregon State, I'm a little surprised to see them at 18th, but I don't really know that much about Oregon State, I'll be honest with you. All right, let's jump ahead to Big Ten rankings from our friend Phil Steele. Let's go with, man, for years I'd get the magazine, it was just a lock. Ohio State would be number one every year for the Big Ten East, like for the last like 15 years. I think last year he had Michigan number one as well. All right, so Phil Steele's Big Ten East rankings. Michigan 1, Ohio State 2, Penn State 3, Maryland 4, Michigan State 5th. He's got Rutgers 6th and then Indiana pulling up the rear. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with, Patrick Murphy?
I think that top three is probably going to be the same for almost anyone who puts together a Big Ten rankings, in some order. You know, maybe some people have Ohio State first. There may be some that even have Penn State higher. But I think those three are the obvious top three in this division, probably the top three in the conference. Indiana, to me, and I know you did recently on Bucknuts, the ranking of Ohio State's schedule, and I think you had Indiana pretty low, if I remember correctly.
I had Rutgers lower than Western Kentucky, if you remember.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't – look, Rutgers, until you prove it to me, and they've had some better years under Greg Schiano, but it hasn't gotten back to what it was or what they hoped. And, you know, that's going to be a long time coming for them to get that program to a contending or competitive even Big Ten level. But I maybe would have Indiana higher just because I trust what their coaching staff can do. Look, it wasn't that long ago that Indiana was – now, it was a strange year, the COVID season, but Indiana was pretty darn good that season, and some of those guys are still on the roster. So I think that I might have Indiana a little higher, but I don't have a ton of issue with it. Look, we obviously, you mentioned it earlier, you think Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten. It's hard for me to argue that Ohio State, Michigan, 1 and 2, I know that is going to be a hell of a game up in Ann Arbor. I'd feel much more comfortable about it if it were down in Columbus this year. Look, this is going to be a very good Michigan team. It's not like Ohio State's going to go up there against a team that's returning or not returning a bunch of players. They've got some studs back, including in the running game. J.J. McCarthy, obviously his development will be huge to what they're able to accomplish this year if he's able to become more of a passer than he was in some of the big games. And I know his numbers looked good against Ohio State, but there were some, guys fell down and there were some busted coverages and whatnot. But if he can become the quarterback that he was recruited to be, then I think they're very dangerous. But, Ohio State should certainly be motivated for that game. It could be the same as it's been the last two, basically the de facto Big Ten East championship. So for me, you know, pick between who you think between Ohio State and Michigan, but no real issues with the rankings here in the eastern side of the Big Ten.
Yeah, this is pretty close to how I had it. I just flipped Indiana and Rutgers. I had Rutgers last, Indiana sixth. And I really look at this as tiers, kind of echoing what you said. I mean, it's really Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State in that first tier.
Yeah.
And if you want to even break it out, Ohio State, Michigan, and then maybe slightly behind them, Penn State. But I'll put those top three in the first tier. And then Maryland, I have in a tier by themselves because they're dangerous with Tagovailoa back. And they also were better defensively than – I remember when I looked at the stats, they actually had a better defense than I remember last year. And Tagovailoa could have a big time year this year. They've got talent. I don't believe in Mike Locksley as a head coach, but he's put a lot of talent out there. So I like Maryland as that clear number four. Michigan State, I have fifth, but like they're in a kind of a tier of their own too in my book, because they're definitely not as good as Maryland in my opinion, but they're clearly better than Indiana and Rutgers, who yeah. I have those two in their own tier, bringing up the rear, but I have Indiana ahead of Rutgers. All right, before we get to the West, my friend, good friend Michael here really wants to know this. He's posted this several times. Will Ohio State land KJ Bolden, the five-star safety, number one safety in the country from Georgia? I don't know, man. If I had to bet my life, first of all, I would not want to do that. Let's say we had to bet like an amount of money that is meaningful to us, whatever that might be. So for me, like $5, right? If I had to bet $5, I would probably bet he's going to go to Georgia, but I know he likes Ohio State, and Ohio State's very much in the running. Bill Kerlick, the dean, feels good about Ohio State's chances, but not enough where he's put in a crystal ball. Steve Wiltfong has put in a crystal ball for Georgia, so I would bet Georgia. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I pulled up the crystal ball page while you were talking there. Steve Wiltfong has it in as a – because you can grade how confident you are in these. He has it as a 6 out of 10, so a medium level. But a couple others, Corey Fravel from our Clemson site, he has Georgia at a 7. Chris Nee from our Knowles site as a 6 to Georgia. Kip Adams, also a 7. He's from our Georgia site. So, look, you know me. I don't dive into the recruiting world nearly as much as those guys I mentioned and Bill Kerlick. But I from talking with Bill, it does sound like Ohio State is very much in the running, but I agree with you. It's going to look right now for elite defensive prospects. It's hard to beat Georgia and what they've done on the field, back-to-back national titles, and the way that they've played defense. You know, you have to prove it if you're Ohio State and you're going to contend with that. And right now they haven't been able to. Now, you know, you look at it on the other side of the ball, Ohio State's been able to land pretty much whoever they wanted offensively. That's because they've had all this offensive success and whatnot. So you've got to prove it on the field, and you've got to build that back up. And I think they've started to do that. We've seen some obviously good commitments. But, yeah, if I were to, like you said, have to bet something substantial on it, Georgia does seem like the favorite and the way to go there. But, again, I wouldn't rule Ohio State out entirely, like you said.
Apparently that was a fake Michael Wilson account.
Oh. Yeah,
Michael Wilson is so famous. Big Mike's got people out there impersonating him. So I banned that guy. You can't be out here, you know, trying to impersonate our longtime loyal listeners. All right, let's get back to the topic at hand. All right. Although I didn't mind talking a little KJ Bolden there. Let's hope the Buckeyes land him. All right. Big 10 JV. I'm sorry, Big 10 West. You know, Freudian slip there. Big 10 West rankings, according to Phil Steele. All right, number one, Wisconsin, Luke Fickell in Wisconsin. It's still so strange to say that. Number two, Kirk Ferentz in Iowa. Not strange to say that. Third, Brett Bielema in Illinois. Still kind of strange. Not as strange. He's got Minnesota and Illinois tied for third. I think if you're making these lists, you should just not have ties. You're making your own list. Don't have a tie. But he's got them tied. Illinois and Minnesota third. The Buckeyes will play Minnesota this year, as well as Wisconsin. Then he's got Nebraska fifth. Northwestern sixth. And yes, we will talk about Pat Fitzgerald in a moment. Don't worry. And then he's got Purdue seventh. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with, Pat?
So Wisconsin's interesting. And I know just the other day in our kind of OSU beat text message, there was some discussion about Wisconsin.
What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Look, Wisconsin is interesting. You mentioned Luke Fickell earlier. And his first year at Cincinnati, I think he obviously has more talent with the Badgers than he did when he took over down south in Cincinnati. But transitioning that offense, and that's been, as you mentioned earlier, the biggest thing. I really like the potential there. The Buckeyes have to go there the week after they play Penn State at home, which I think is probably the most part of the most challenging stretch of Ohio State's season. So I think Wisconsin almost by default, like who else of this group? You talked about Iowa and the transfers. Remember Eric Ahl also from Michigan transferred in, giving them another weapon there. But none of – look, you made the joke earlier about the JV side. And look, if the Big Ten West was ever going to, you know, kind of overtake the Big Ten East, they have not done that in the how many years now have we had these divisions. So, like, I think you're splitting hairs with a lot of these teams, right? There's talent, but nothing that really stands out in a lot of those. Nebraska, obviously under new coaching staff as well. I think that will take time to get potentially back on track, but we've seen multiple coaches now come in and struggle there. So I think it'll be interesting in Lincoln, Northwestern, Purdue. You know, I just don't see a ton there. Now, I do think when Ohio State goes to Purdue, that's another one that's right in that stretch right after Wisconsin, I believe. So that has not been a place that's been kind to Ohio State in the past. But just overall, in terms of where you'd rank them preseason, the talent doesn't jump off the page to me right now.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with these. Again, it's similar to how I felt about the Big Ten East rankings from Phil Steele. I would just flip the last two. And yeah, this has nothing to do with the recent news, which we're going to get to. Even before that came out, I had Purdue ahead of Northwestern. I had Northwestern last, Northwestern coming off a 1-11 season. They were 3-9 the year before that. Not a good time to be coming off a 1-11 season, by the way, with all this stuff coming out. Although maybe it wouldn't matter if you're coming off 11-1, given some of these details. So I wouldn't change anything there other than maybe not have a tie at three, but maybe I just put Illinois at third, Minnesota fourth. I don't like that the Buckeyes have to play a physical Minnesota team the week before Michigan, but is what it is. PJ Fleck, polarizing figure, but he's a good head coach. I don't think he's a great head coach, but he's certainly a good head coach. It's going to be very interesting to see what Matt Rhule does at Nebraska. I think it's going to take him at least a couple years to get things going there. So, yeah, I like that. I would just flip Purdue and Northwestern. I would keep everything else the same. Again, Wisconsin, because they got Mordecai, not that he's a world beater or anything, but he's a good college quarterback, certainly the best that they've had since Russell Wilson. And I know that's a low bar. I know that even like us could jump over that bar. That's how low that bar is. We could jump over it. But still, they have their best quarterback since Russell Wilson, and I think Wisconsin will be dangerous. All right, now let's get
real
into
quick, you mentioned, go ahead. You mentioned Illinois. Similar to what I said earlier about Tennessee, now they obviously weren't in the national championship conversation during last season, but had a really good year. Again, can you build on it? That's the thing. We talked about Indiana earlier. You had that really good season, and you take a step back. And so these are the programs that – you know, you want to establish yourself. Can you sustain success? Can you do it for more than one season when, like, the stars kind of align? Can you build on that? Will Illinois be able to do that? You mentioned Brett Bielema moving that program maybe in the right direction. Another thing that to kind of follow with them, if they can start to get the wheels going further in the right direction in year two, so to speak.
All right, let's get to it. Uncomfortable topic, but let's get into it. I've been reading a lot about this. I read just the general stories about Pat Fitzgerald. And then I finally sat down this morning and finally read the one from the Daily Northwestern, the original report. I mean, it's pretty impressive that comes from, of course, it's from one of the best journalism schools in the country, if not the best. So maybe it's not that surprising that it's a campus newspaper. But they do a great job there, obviously. And there's a long list of talented journalists that have come from Northwestern, of course. All right, let's get to it. Is Pat Fitzgerald likely done at Northwestern, in your opinion? Let's start there.
Probably. Look, this when I first heard about this over the weekend, it read to me, and I think you would agree, I think most people would agree, but like, and you hear hazing, you automatically think like fraternities, right? And I'm just like, why is a Big Ten program doing this? Like, what is the point? I know every team has some things initiation-wise that they do with new players and whatnot. But to me, this is such a, I don't know, such a strange thing, especially at a school like Northwestern. And Pat Fitzgerald, obviously a guy who played at that school, has been the head coach there for now a long time, probably could have coached as long as he wanted, as long as he kept things going in the right direction in terms of academics and handling things the right way. The success on the football field has gone up and down, but this is a team that's played in multiple Big Ten championship games. Say what you will about the division they came out of, that's more than other programs in the Big Ten West can say. So, you know, it was going to be something like this, right? If they were, or if Pat Fitzgerald decided to move on his own. To me, it's very strange. And you know, you read the statements from the people at Northwestern. If you are reading between the lines of tolerating, you know, the lack of tolerating this stuff and whatnot, now that everything's out, the 2-week suspension, no pay in July is just laughable. I know that you can make the argument, okay, Pat Fitzgerald didn't know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. My understanding is, and this is sort of what the president at Northwestern said, was you run the program. You are responsible for handling, taking care of, being aware of these type of situations. And even from the stories, it sounds like he was at least somewhat aware. I know Adam Rittenberg over the weekend put some stuff out that there was a whiteboard in the middle of the locker room listing players' names that were supposed to get run, as they put it. To me, this is, it's just embarrassing for a Big Ten program to have something like this happen. I understand, like I said, kind of initiating young guys and having some fun with it, but this obviously pushes things too far. And, you know, I don't know if you're Northwestern, the reason to keep Pat Fitzgerald. As I said, there has been success, but it's not like it's been sustained success and they've turned into this Big Ten juggernaut. There are other coaches out there that I think would do some good things at Northwestern. So look, if these allegations are proven to be correct, I think whether Pat Fitzgerald directly knew or was directly responsible about it, the punishment has to be more severe than a 2-week slap on the wrist penalty before preseason even gets started. And it would not surprise me if that means he's out the door at some point.
Yeah, at first I thought he was going to survive until the president came out and said, we're going to need to rethink this 2 weeks. It was like, whoa, that said a lot to me right there. Because initially it sounded like they're going to stand by their man. Yeah, he should have known, but it's been determined through the investigation that he did not know. Let's get into that. Let's pretend, because a lot of people say that's just BS. You have to know. He had to know. There was a whiteboard in there. He was even doing some of the clapping himself. Some people say he had to know. Okay, and I get that. Let's play devil's advocate with that. Let's say for the sake of argument, we somehow know that Pat Fitzgerald didn't know that this was going on, even though he's been the coach there for 17 years. Where do you come down on this? Maybe not you and I firsthand or anything. We've heard stories about college men from the age of 18 to 22, sometimes maybe not making the best decisions, maybe not telling the authority figures what they're doing. Again, not present company excluded, of course. Yeah. But like we've heard stories about this happening with college kids. But seriously, when you're a college football coach and you're responsible for 105 young men, boys, you know, doing bad things, this is awful if these allegations are true. But where do you come down on how much a college football coach needs to know everything that's going on in his program with so many guys on the team? And we know college kids are going to do some bad things.
Yeah, I would say it's impossible to know everything, right? I mean, you know, your staff is somewhat limited in terms of what you can have in terms of full-time staff members. So to know everything that goes on, obviously, I don't think that's reasonable. But I do think in a situation like this, and if you believe everything that's being reported, as you were saying, the whiteboard and the clapping and stuff like this, to me, it would be difficult to not have some idea of what they had going on there. Now, to what extent, how much, you know, if it was kind of just, hey, I know they're doing some hazing stuff, we turn a blind eye to it, and then he doesn't know the details behind it. I think that's a little bit on the head coach to be aware. You know, you don't have to be involved in everything that these guys do, but maybe check some things out just to make sure something of this magnitude isn't taking place. You know, I think I was trying to put it in, you know, if this were Ohio State and we were covering this and discussing it from a guy like Ryan Day, who we know, and things like, you know, how do you kind of handle it that way? And look, to me, I think I would say the same thing. Ryan Day should, and his staff, it's not just the head coach, but that they should be aware of some of this stuff and you know, keep, as you said, these are college kids. They're going to do some dumb things. You have to guide them and keep a lid on some of this. And I don't mean not let it get out. I mean, not let it happen if it's as bad as what they're saying. So, and I, again, at a place like Northwestern, a Big Ten, you don't need this stuff. You just don't. You know, it's not a fraternity. It's a competitive college football team that, you know, just seems silly to go down this route at all. When, you know, if you want guys to carry pads and do all that when they first join the program, I can see all that. I understand, but going this far just seems way over the line for a place like this.
We've got future Buckeye quarterback Air Noland in the chat. Now, it could be somebody, you know, impersonating the five-star stud, but let's just assume it's not. Air Noland, welcome. Assuming it's you. We're going to assume it's you because it's really cool knowing that Air Noland's hanging out, wanting to get in on the show. Trust me, we will have you on the show. We need to verify it's you, and then we'll be honored to have you on. Five-star Ohio State quarterback commit Air Noland. Very cool that he dropped by. Very cool that Patrick Murphy dropped by. This show went over a half hour. Was not intending that, but a lot of fun stuff to get into. We're going to be going to Big Ten Media Days in 2 weeks. Season's going to be here before we know it. I absolutely love it. So hopefully we can get Aaron Noland on the show soon. And thanks to all of our viewers and listeners. Again, if you're watching on YouTube and you like the show, please subscribe. Helps us out a lot. Thanks again to Patrick Murphy. Thanks again to all of you. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.